It's Full Metal Jackie on the show with us this week, the one and only Bruce Dickinson. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm in the middle of a 44-date speaking tour, so I'm like doing an evening of kind of stand-up comedy about my life.
And are you having a good time? It seems like it's a lot of talking, but are you having fun out there?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, the main thing is not just that I'm having fun. The main thing is that the audience is having fun. So, it's amazing. We're doing we've got rock and roll style merchandise sales in theaters, which is a spoken word show, which is great. You know, it's great feedback.
Amazing. Bruce Dickinson out on the An Evening with Bruce Dickinson spoken word tour happening now through the end of March. And Bruce, you're well accustomed to playing enormous venues in front of tens of thousands of people. What's different and maybe more challenging about connecting with a more intimate spoken word audience?
Well, you've got, anywhere between 800 and 1400 people in a small theater. They're right on top of everybody. There's no auto cue. There's no safety net. There's no teleprompter to sort of go, oh no, now you have to tell this story. You know, it's all on you, basically. So, the show kicks off and it's an hour and a half. And it's the story of how a spotty kid from a town that nobody's ever heard of and nobody ever will again ends up wearing the world's most ridiculous trousers and fronting a well-known folk rock combo.
And I have to ask, have you had any Spinal Tap moments on your spoken word tour? Because it must be different. Whereas when you're on a stage and, God forbid, one of the production elements doesn't happen, you have a whole band of people behind you normally if it's an Iron Maiden show. But when you're on your own, if the projector doesn't work or if something, has that happened to you yet?
No, there really is. That's really, I've dealt with that very easily. There's two things about the show which mean that nothing can go wrong. One is that we don't have a drummer. And the other thing is that there is no production. So we have a screen. No, we have an HD screen. Actually, we have an HD screen and a really good HD projector. And there's 12 pictures that get shown through the show. No words. So it's really easy. You don't have to be able to read and write to come to the show. It's, it's completely inclusive. And so we do an hour and a half of that. And then there's a 25-minute interval. And during the interval, I actually use the screen because a lot of the theatres we play got great sound systems now. So I actually brought the writing on the wall video as it should be seen, like in a movie theatre. So we've got that with a Dolby sound system, a Dolby soundtrack with the special effects and stuff. It sounds great. So that's the beginning of the interval. And then the second part of the show, I come back out and basically the audience write questions, statements, things like that on cue cards. And I rearrange them into a kind of improv script. It depends on how good the questions are, depends on what they come up with, that's part two of the show. The whole thing, including the interval, is a little bit under 3 hours.
Bruce Dickinson with us. He's out on his spoken word tour through the end of the month. It's Full Metal Jackie. And hey, Kirk Winstein of Crowbar was a guest on the show a couple of weeks ago. This week, the new Crowbar record, Zero and Below, is out. Here's a tune from the record, Chemical Gods. It's Full Metal Jackie. Bruce Dickinson with us. We're talking about An Evening with Bruce Dickinson, the spoken word tour happening now through the end of March. And spoken word and singing are two different things, but fundamentally, both are about communicating. What aspects of your spoken word skills might come to indirectly affect your craft as a singer?
The only one really is if we start, you start chatting to the audience and telling stories in between songs. Which, one of these days we might get back to. The show we have at the moment for the forthcoming tour. World tour. It is a world tour. Oh, isn't that cool? It's COVID. A world tour!
Thank goodness.
So I get done with this March 31st. So 31st of March, I come back and I'm actually going to be doing some writing with Roy Z to try and finally, after 14 years, do a follow-up to Tyranny of Souls and Chemical Wedding as a solo album. And then I go back to Europe and it's boom, straight into rehearsals with the Maiden Boys. And we really don't stop until right now, until the sort of like beginning of November. But you never know how long it might go on for. You know, I mean, it's we've got 3 years of catching up to do. Everybody, the whole world has got 3 years of their lives that have been stolen by this, you know, dreadful virus and all the things associated with it. So it's about time we all got out and, you know, got out of our bunkers and our silos and went, yay, you know, we're going to go along, just go see a live show, you know, whether it's spoken word or music or whatever.
It sounds like it's going to be a busy year for you, for sure.
Well, I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. You know, I mean, I've been improving on my cooking skills for the last 2 years, and it's not been good.
You know? Well, that's surprising because you seem to be good at like 25 different things. I thought maybe you'd be a good cook.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm okay. I mean, I can now cook scrambled eggs. And I can open a tin of beans.
That could come in handy. You never know.
Yeah.
Bruce Dickinson with us again. He's out on the Spoken Word Tour through the end of the month. Still to come, music from Black Sabbath. We'll check out a new tune from Abbath, the title track off their upcoming record, which is coming out March 25th. More with Bruce. It's all on the way. It's Full Metal Jackie. Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden with us. He is out on an Evening with Bruce Dickinson, a Spoken Word Tour again, happening now through the end of March. And Bruce, you are a Renaissance man, multifaceted and pursuing numerous endeavors, seemingly all at once. What has the pandemic taught you about the value in something standing still?
Well, I think the numerous endeavors seemingly all at once is the crucial bit. I mean, the pandemic. I mean, I was in Paris when the lockdown hit. Funnily enough, I'd just come back from another place that's sadly in the news at the moment. I just come back from Moscow and St. Petersburg doing a couple of spoken word things there. Yeah, and that was 3 years ago. That was very bizarre, doing spoken word with simultaneous translation, you know. So you'd do that, then there'd be kind of the equivalent to like boom, boom, the punchline, and then nobody would say a word, silence. And then half an hour later, you'd go, anyway, and they'd all burst into laughter because, you know, so it was really confusing. Anyway, so I got back to Paris and said to my partner, said to Leanna, I said, you know what, we should go and get a printer because we haven't got a printer. And let's go and get a printer. So we got a printer. And then that evening, as we just installed the printer, along comes, you know, President of France and says, right, all the pubs are shut at midnight, that's it, lockdown, boom, boom. And we had to have a piece of paper that would allow us to go outside every single day, a new piece of paper with our name, our address, date of birth, and why we were going outside. We were allowed out for 1 hour a day, and that was 2 months. And strangely enough, I really enjoyed it because the sun was shining, you know, I scrubbed the balcony, making breakfast, we did little workouts in the room, you know. We're on the sixth floor, so I just not bother using the lift and run up and down the stairs and stuff. And I'm thinking, wow, kind of fit. Netflix, never bothered watching it before because I was always too busy. And suddenly, we got into like binge watching Sons of Anarchy, right? And that actually, when I started storyboarding the Maiden video, writing on the wall, I was just like, the four biker eddies of the apocalypse. Where did that idea come from? It was from just, I've just got choppers in my head going all the whole time. So that's where that came from. So yeah, lots of good stuff happened, but all in a much lower tempo than normal. And even though my life is getting like really busy now, I still remember that. And I look back at that period and go, you know what? It's actually fine to just go, I'm just going to stare out the window for a while and chill out, you know? I think people have reassessed, a lot of people have reassessed how much running around was actually beneficial to them psychologically, you know? How much they were running around doing things for the benefit of other people only and having no benefit to it for themselves, you know? That's why there's so many jobs out there at the moment paying like hardly any money. And guess what? They can't get people because people are going, you know what? I'm actually worth something. And I think that's, if that's the most positive thing that's come out of it, that's a very positive thing that's come out of it, is that, you know, human beings are worth something.
And I think a lot of people have just sort of reevaluated what's important and what they want to do with whatever time we have on this planet. So I think probably all of that has come into play with why nobody wants to do any jobs anymore.
Yeah, and nobody wants to do a rubbish job for no money. I mean, pay me money and yeah, I'll go take trash out, you know, but have some respect, you know.
Bruce Dickinson with us. Still to come this hour, the Death Clock Brutal Pick of the Week. New music from Violence and Creator. Tunes from Anthrax and Ghost, and more with Bruce Dickinson right after this. It's Full Metal Jackie. Bruce Dickinson with us. He's out on the Spoken Word Tour, An Evening with Bruce Dickinson. And your music is indispensable to so many fans around the world. What do you consider about those people when you contemplate the ultimate lifespan of your musical career?
Oh, wow. Wow, I hope we haven't got to the end of the lifespan of our musical career. I think we're not planning to retire at all, really. I think we'll probably drop dead on stage.
Don't say that.
I can think of worse places to drop dead. But no, we're not planning on retiring. We're all still firing away, loads of energy, loads of enthusiasm. So I can't wait to get back together. I mean, with respect to, you know, our fans, I mean, we've got like generations of fans now, you know, going back. I mean, even in the spoken word shows, you know, I can crack jokes about the age of the audience only because half the audience, you know, is like my age, but the other half of the audience is often way, way younger. So it's brilliant. We've got this whole intergenerational thing going. And obviously on the Maiden shows, it's even bigger, the emphasis of that, you know. And huge numbers of women, it's fantastic, you know, because it always used to be the cliche, right? Back when I was starting in the early 80s, that heavy metal was just like misogynist, male-dominated stuff, and, you know, and women would go and have to listen to that was on Coachella and crap like that, you know. But no, it's not true. There's loads and loads of heavy metal fans who are girls and other pronouns.
Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden with us. It's Full Metal Jackie. Coming up next, new music from Violence. The Bay Area Thrashers are back. They have a new EP that just came out. It is their first original release since 1993's Nothing to Gain. The EP is called Let the World Burn. New music from Violence coming up next. Plus, we'll hear from a member of Death Clock for the Death Clock Brutal Pick of the Week and more with Bruce. Stick around. It's Full Metal Jackie, Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden with us. We're talking about An Evening with Bruce Dickinson. And you've described what, you know, there's two parts of the show and sort of what fans can expect. But what do you want to leave people with when they're walking out of these spoken word dates?
The main one is that cheered me up. That was funny. I learned a little bit of something, but not a lecture. And that was worth 3 hours of my life, and I feel better for it. That's it. It's real simple. I've got a shirt which I'm selling, the best selling shirt, but, and it's on the back of it. It says life is better than all the other options, and it's something I came up with after I, you know, got done with cancer. I said it at the show, and it got a big cheer, and I went, I see that's quite to the point, you know. So between that and, you know, the autobiography I did 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, whatever. You know, what does this button do? I mean, if you get, what does this button do? And life is better than all the other options. Basically, that's me in a nutshell. And that's what the show is in a nutshell. It's, you know, sort of like undiluted enthusiasm and not taking yourself terribly seriously.
And Bruce, before we go, I did want to just check in on how you're feeling these days.
Health-wise. Oh, no, great. I mean, I've had all the cancer thing is, no, it's all good, you know. And then, before the last tour, I snapped my Achilles tendon 4 months before the tour. Well, that's good. Nobody figured that out, you know. I had to tell people so they knew I suffered. And then, And then in lockdown, I went for a checkup, and the guy said, he said, you got a big chunk of arthritis, osteoarthritis, which is wear and tear basically in one of your hips. And I said, well, you know, I mean, when you know, IndyCar drivers, you know, they there's a crash, you know, they all go in and they change their tires. I said, well, let's go in and swap it out. Let's get a new one. So I did. So I got 5 inches of titanium hammered into my leg by a psychopath. And and it works great.
Do you set off the metal detectors now?
Jumping occasionally, but sometimes they're not that sensitive. I'm actually really excited when I set up a metal detector because I can point there and go, you know what this is? It's 5 inches of titanium in my leg. But it happens, you know, loads of people have got these things. I mean, tennis players are having them now, double hip operations in their 30s because, you know, and they're out playing, you know, tennis. I mean, Andy Murray is playing with two metal hips, you know, on the ATP tour. So, yeah, I got no excuse for not running around. I'm competing, fencing, I'm doing all the stuff. When we were doing the rehab on the hip, on the muscles and stuff, it was during lockdown, but the hospital had a gym, which meant that they were all closed. But because it was medical, I could go. So the physio, I was like 3 times a week in the gym, and he was like, you know, while we're at it, you know, why don't we do just like everything else as well? You know, I went, cool, you know. So we set up like this little jungle gym because he's got pictures of what jumping off things and me and leaping in the air and stuff. And he said, so once we get done with the first 3 months, we'll just have you leaping on and off boxes, taking running jumps and things, and basically doing what you do on stage in the gym. So it was super cool.
Oh, wow. That must have been cool. Did you film that?
Yeah, cool. Great. Yeah.
Bruce Dickinson with us. See An Evening with Bruce Dickinson, the spoken word tour now through the end of March. And of course, the Iron Maiden dates later on in the year. Bruce, it was so great to chat with you. Thank you so much. And I'll definitely see you soon.
Brilliant. Thanks.
Stick around because we've got more metal on the way.